You think you'd get used to it? All the churches you're in, everybody wants to wire you up and mic you up. I don't ever get used to it. I don't get used to having something dangling out of the pocket. I normally knock it out of quite a few times, but it is good to be back home at the home church. We enjoy being here. Why? Because we have family here. I mean, we really, legitimately, you guys are our family. We love you guys like family. Matter of fact, more so our family here than my real family that's on the outside are you guys here, and I mean that, and so does my wife, and we enjoy being around you. You know, I used to watch Tim McVeigh all the time. He'd be traveling around us, big bags of cough drops. I said, man, why does this guy carry so many, you know, cough drops with him? What's going on? And I asked him one time, I said, brother, I said, why do you carry around the cough drops? He goes, when you preach so much, he goes, you just start getting that throat and it starts messing up. Now I'm carrying cough drops myself because, man, I'll just get in a fit. My throat's all dry. Can't talk or anything. I just keep coughing and coughing. And, you know, when you're doing, you know, sometimes up to 6 messages a week, 7 messages, you know, one church, you do 3 messages in one day and such. It really does take a toll on your throat. But I'm not complaining by any means because it's been a wonderful experience for me and my family. And I believe God is just getting started with the Morey family. He's had some issues that he's had to work out in my own life personally. And I believe he's begun to do that in my life, in which I'm very happy. It's an adjustment period to get used to some things, but God is good. And so what I want to talk about today is the God of impossibilities. Because that's what he is. He is the God of impossibilities. Just when you think something's impossible in your life, God is the God of impossibilities. Okay? Just when you think there is no way this could ever work out into my favor, no way this can ever happen in my life, God shows himself as the God of impossibilities. You see, God likes those circumstances. God likes it when the odds are against him. God likes it that when you're out there and the whole entire planet's against you, God says, well, now I can get in that. You see, sometimes God has to strip away man. God has to strip away those things that man tried to give us for help. When we finally open our eyes and say, oh my goodness, I have nothing else to look at but God. He says, look to the hills from whence my help cometh. Look to the hill. Look up, because that's where the help is. In that that place of impossibility. Turn with me to Mark chapter 5, if you would. Mark chapter 5, one of my favorite stories. Mark chapter 5. And let me just share with you here for a few minutes. Mark chapter 5. I was at a church a few weeks ago, and a pastor who's having some problems, he said, you know, Dale, he says, I'd like to tell you about your preacher. I said, yeah. What's that, my friend? You know, I listen to people. And he says, you know, when you talk and you give out your verses, he goes, you know, make sure you say it a couple of times, and which I do. I like to preach myself 4 or 5 times. But obviously that day I did not. And so if I continue to repeat them, sometimes we have people who don't hear. Somebody who has turned their head to pay attention to something else. Or whatever else. So now I'm in tune to always saying that scripture over and over again because a man told me something and I want to listen to that. So Mark chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to read the first 5 verses in Mark chapter 5. And here's what it says. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And verse 2, and it says, and when he came out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken into pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Verse 5, it says, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Brother Ronnie Scotland, if you could pray for the service, please.
Father in heaven, Lord, thank you. We had a wonderful meal, Lord, and I pray that you just feed us with words as Brother Dale brings it forth. And we'll give us attentive ears and open hearts in your name. Amen.
Amen. So we see a man who's standing. Now, could you imagine being this man? Could you imagine what it would be like, John Mark, if you spent almost your entire life in the tombs, possessed with devils, unclean? Here's a man who's alone. Here's a man who has no hope whatsoever. He's always bound. He's devil-possessed. And he's trying to self-harm or kill himself. And this morning, this afternoon, we have people who are sitting in this very church that are bound the same way that man is. They're bound that way in their heart. They're bound with those fetters. They're full of hatred and bitterness. There's addictions that are abounding in their life. It doesn't always have to be a drug addiction. When people think of addiction, they think immediately of alcohol and drugs. And that doesn't always have to be the addiction. There are other addictions out there. And so here this man is. He's out there. He's bound by but there's people in this church who are bound by bitterness. And they're bound by hatred. And whatever addiction they have, they're out in here today without hope. I remember the hopelessness of me sitting in these church pews. Matter of fact, right in front of Hannah is where I sat for 4 years lost. Without hope. Tim, I'm sitting underneath the preaching of this Bible and I'm going home and I'm studying the Word of God. But yet there I am sitting in that church pew without hope. Because I just thought, you know what? God can't save me. God wants to save the goody two-shoes. He don't want to save somebody like me. He wants to save people that were raised in good homes. You know, He wants to save that one who's been in church their whole life. And then I remember God bringing me to this story. I said, no, God wants to save a person like me. That's what He came to. He came to draw me unto Himself. And that's what He was doing. I had to come to the understanding. Why? Because I sat in that pew bound in my bitterness, bound in that hatred, addicted to drugs, addicted to everything under the sun, pornography, cigarettes, and everything else. I sat there telling God, look, I want to be your son, but I have all these things in my life. You must not want me. Oh, He did. You know why? Because He's the God of impossibilities. Amen. You see, when the whole world has given up on me, for whatever reason, He sent a messenger to Amy's mother. Go to Pastor John and say, there's a couple who's in trouble. Would you go visit them? Could you imagine that, Tanya? My goodness, God was after me. Why? That seed was planted in prison. When Old Time Baptist Church used to come in and they would preach to me and they would plant that seed. And yes, I made a profession at one time. The profession didn't save me though. I left there with the same emptiness, the same thing that I always was. And I tried running from God. You know, I always make this illustration as when I left prison, I left Jesus Christ standing in the door. I left all my Bibles and everything in there. I didn't need those no more. I'm going home. And I tried running from God. Because I just thought, if I can never get the assurance in my life, then there's no sense in me trying this thing. Never had I assurance whatsoever of that profession I made. I mean, not one inkling. I never even tried to pretend it. And then God, in His mercy, look at psych doctors, rehabs, jails, mental hospitals, and self will keep you bound in hopelessness. They will keep you there. It will not allow you to be out. It will not allow you to escape. It will not allow you to get out of that. Look at nothing that man can do is ever going to get us out of the things that God can get us out of. And it took a long time for me to realize, finally, after all these years of all these medical things going on in my life, that what I was doing was what King Asa was doing, what I was doing with everything. Now look at, I'm not saying seeking medical doctors is a bad thing. But you understand from my point of view where I was seeking medical help when I should have been going to God. You see, I left God out of the equation. And it wasn't until recently, almost 10 days ago, when God arrested me at my desk and put His finger on something that I never wanted to see. I said, there's no way that's ever going to happen to me. 9 days ago, I sat there telling this God of impossibilities, you can never deliver me from these things. After 15 years, there is no way that this God, who I believe, can rescue me. Hopeless, with a ball and chain, dragging it around everywhere I went, wondering, Tim, if I could ever be made free from these things. And I stand here today a free man. Amen. I stand here today a free man that God delivered me when He put His finger on it. But you know what had to happen? I had to look at that thing. I had to finally, Pastor, stop saying, no, it can't be that because of this. No, it can't be that because of that. Look at, no, this is legit, Lord. Look, I really am, this is legit for me. God kept saying, is it? And He wouldn't leave me alone. Probably for the last 2.5 years, He just would not leave me alone on this thing. just would not leave me alone. And he just kept going and going. And I'm telling you what, man, I went through absolute turmoil for those last 2.5, 3 years, man. I would get up in the mornings and I would just tell my wife, I said, I don't know if I can go on like this anymore. I just don't know if I can take it. Why? I didn't have any hope in God to deliver me from that. I didn't want to see it. And here's this man, bound in hopelessness as myself. But let me tell you today, there is hope, and his name is Jesus Christ. And I love what Pastor said today. If you don't believe the Bible, then you're just really calling God a liar. That's what you're calling. So you might as well, when you pray in the morning, just say, you know what, God, you're nothing but a liar because you can't save me. Or why are you drawing this thing out, Lord? Or maybe God just don't want to save me. No, just tell him you think he's a liar. Just tell him that. Because what you're telling him, in other words, is that, look, there is no hope that you can save me. There is no hope that you can bring me to that place. And there is. And God shows us over and over again. In Matthew 19, 26, it says, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. But with who? All things. But with God all things are possible. I remember as a lost person traveling around because I wanted to be around preaching, right? We would travel around with our pastor. But you know what I went there to hear? The man. I went to go travel and hear the man, not the message. Never got saved that way. You know when it started working for me? When I started listening to the message. When I started believing what that Bible really said. I finally understood he is the God of impossibilities. That's when it happened to me. When I finally realized, my goodness, hey, God gives men messages. It says by the foolishness of preaching, right? He gives them. But when our attitude is, we're going to go and hear somebody preach because of who they are, maybe not because of what they say. Mm-hmm. That's where the danger is.
Yes.
You know why? Because I didn't hear. Well, I'm going to go hear my Pastor John preach. But was I going to hear what he said? Or what the Holy Ghost is trying to show me? Because there's a man who uses a King James Bible and preaches it right down the line, teaches it exactly the way we need. What was I coming to hear, though? You see, that's how Amy attracted me to come to Black Creek. Come hear this man preach a King James like you've never heard before. That was my interest, not to hear what God had to say, but to hear this man preach a King James Bible like you've never heard before. I had to learn. I don't come just to hear the man. I come to hear what the Bible is telling that man. I come to hear what's being preached. I come expecting God. I came to church this morning. I prayed, God, show up in church this morning. Show up here. Speak to us. We need it. We need that strength. We need to hear from God's word. Because there's so many people who sit here and think that God can't do it. We sit there and we look at, well, we believe that. Look, most people in the church today, Brother Neil, they believe God spoke this world into existence. But they don't believe he can save it. That even makes sense to you? Does that make sense to a single person here? You believe that God can speak this world into existence, but he can't save a person? That's crazy thinking. He is the God of impossibilities. And he can't say, how do you know that? Look, as Paul Harvey would say, now the rest of the story. Go back to Mark chapter 5 and start in verse 6. Look what it says here. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Verse 8, for he said, I just want to, that's a very important word in your King James Bible, that word torment. They didn't use torture there for a reason. Torture and torture, anytime you hear stories of torture or anything like that, there's breaks that go in between each torture session. A torment never stops. A person who's caught in fear and unbelief are constantly tortured. It never stops them. How about those who aren't saved in this room today? Is it not a torment? It's a torment that never stops. That's why the King James Bible used that word. Because it's something that never ends. It don't stop ever. Until God accomplishes what he wants, or that person dies and goes to hell. Why? Because he loves people. He's trying to draw all men to himself. He says, I came to seek and save that which was lost. His purpose was to come down here and draw people to him because that's who God is. Anyway, look at verse 8. For he said unto them, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked them, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. And now on that, there were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed with the swine fled and told it into the city and in the country. And they went out to see which was done. And when they had when they come to Jesus to see see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, they were afraid. I'm going to tell you this right now. The religious crowd is afraid of people like me and you, Ronnie. They don't understand how people like us can get saved today. Yeah, well, that's what they're out there preaching and stuff, is it? Because they hear a person like me getting saved, and let me just tell you something, it makes them a little weary. It makes them look at God just a little different when they see people like me and you getting saved. I'm telling you, man, I've been out there enough. And you know what? A lot of people don't believe it, brother. They just don't believe it. And you know what? God's got to convict their hearts. But here, look at here. This man he's dressed and he's clothed and he's sitting and he's in his right mind. And the people are afraid. You think they'd be rejoicing and happy over that? Yeah. They're not. They're actually going to ask Jesus Christ to leave. Look, it goes on and says this. And they saw and they told how it befell him that was possessed, verse 16, with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was coming to the ship, he had been possessed with the devil, prayed him that he might be with him. You see that? When that transaction took place, nobody had to tell that man to come to church. That's right. Nobody had to tell him to get to Jesus Christ. But you see, the fundamentalists today, they say, well, we'll lead you in this prayer. We'll lead you down the Romans road. And then they never see him again and wonder, where is this person? You read the Bible, when Jesus Christ does something in somebody's life, they want to be around him. They want to be part of him. I always tell my family this. After I got saved, nobody ever had to beg me to come to church. My pastor didn't have to call me and say, Dale, would you please show up to church? Hey, Dale, would you please read your Bible? Oh, no. It naturally became who I am. Church is not something I do. It's who we are. That's the new life in Christ. That's the new life in Christ. That's who God is. He takes that one that everybody else thinks there is no hope for that good. Good, I'm glad. Look, when people start thinking there's no hope for you, that's when God can work in your life. Amen. If people still think there's hope for you, don't worry about it. God still got you in control, but it's going to take a little longer. God is the God of impossibilities. He is that one that gives that hope. But look at here. What it says here. Verse 19, it says, how be it, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go and home and tell thy friends and tell how great things the Lord hath done for thee and how and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in the Decapolis at how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. What a wonderful thing. We got a testimony now. Now Jesus Christ says, now go out there and tell all people. At first it's nerve-wracking. You're out there, well, how do I tell the people? Oh, you're going to die and go to hell. And they just look and go, okay. People aren't afraid of hell today. Hell doesn't scare a single soul out there. So God loves you. Oh, that's a very true statement. But many people, anytime they've been told they've been loved, they've been hurt more than anything on this entire planet. Therefore, they don't believe in love. So how do you tell them? How do you deal with them today? Slow and methodically get them to believe that Bible. And when you can get them to believe that Bible, they'll start believing in the God who wrote that Bible. That is the only way today. The only way. Trust me, I go into a jail where these men, they know the Bible and they can quote it probably better than anybody in this church. And it does them zero. Zero. I'm talking about King James Bible. Why? Because it's only knowledge. They don't really believe in the God of this Bible. Let me tell you something. When I got saved, I knew the Bible. I did this spirit study that you hear Pastor talk about as a lost person. I did almost a whole word for word search in the book of Romans as a lost person in a King James Bible. But what was I doing that for? Because I wanted to hear what God had to say? Or because of the knowledge that I was trying to gain? You see, now I have a man that I have to impress. I wanted to impress my pastor. I wanted him to think I really knew that Bible. I wanted him to think something. And maybe he would just come alongside me and say, Dale, I really think you're okay. It's not Pastor John. Thank God for it. I'm not kidding. Thank God for it. You notice here in verses 10 through 14, the unclean spirits wanted to go into an unclean animal. That's a picture of people who are trying to go get help from unclean people. That's what people are doing today. All they do is run to the psych doctors. All they do is run to this and run to that. They run to the dope man. They run here and they run there. It's not why. Because they had that familiar spirits one with another. There's no help in that man. Look at the Bible says here in Jeremiah 17 verses 5 through 7. It says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord. But there is hope, and his name is Jesus Christ. If people would just stop seeking man. I remember that being just so prevalent in my life when I was seeking. As I was always trying to run to man, and not the God who can save me. Now look, I'm not saying we don't turn to people for help and counsel. That's why God gave us pastors. Okay? That's why he gave us deacons. If we need something, we can go to them and we can talk to them. But if the very first option you choose is a man over God, there may be a problem. Because it says, curses the man who puts his trust in the man and make it the flesh of his arm. You know why? Because a person like me, let me put me in this equation. Because a person like me, my whole entire life has been taught to go seek help from man. My whole life. So now I get, fast forward, I get saved. And now what's the first thing I want to do still? Is I want to go to man. I don't know any better. But thank God I had a pastor who says, you know what? Why don't you get in your Bible and read that? Why don't you pray about that? You see? But there's times that pastor had to tell me, or still, it still does. It's not like I don't go to him. Now I do, of course I do. I'd be stupid not to. If I can't get an answer from the Lord, I will go to my pastor and say, here's what I'm thinking. This is what you know what? He has wisdom, and he can help me sort those things out. But I need to turn to God first. Because it's God first who's going to help me get out of those things that I need to get out of, okay? God first. But I'm just telling you, man, it's trouble out there. Mark 9:23 says this, Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe. I love when Jesus does that to people. He says, if thou canst. Not that everybody will, because not everybody will believe. Okay? If thou canst believe, some things are possible to them that believe. No, it's not what it says. All things are possible to them that believe. All things. Why? Because he is God. What do we look at him as? Some deity up there? I mean, just what do we look at God as? How are we seeing him? How do we handle him? Just as some religious experience? No. He's the God of impossibilities. He's the God who died for our soul. Pastor said it earlier today, I believe, when he said this, he said, other religions have gods who want you to die for them. Well, our God died for us. He chose the cross. I know everybody's having a hard time staying awake and everything. You know why? They ate too much.
No.
That's the reality. Stay awake. Listen to the God of impossibilities. I'll be done here soon. I won't keep you long. But I just want you to know that God is the God of impossibilities. How about the people that are sitting in church pews today, religious and lost? It's a very prevalent thing that goes on in our society today. Religious and lost. Matthew, turn with me to Matthew chapter 19. Look at this. I'm going to try to build a story here real quick, and then we'll get done. We'll get out of here. I know it's warm, and it's been a long day. Matthew chapter 19. We're going to start in verse 16. Matthew 19, 16 says this. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none but good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt not do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Here it is. And Jesus saith unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all thou hast and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of heaven. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? And Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. The religious young ruler who I believe, and I believe many other people believe here, is talking about Paul or Saul before his conversion, who says he kept the law perfectly. And, you know, he grew up in the synagogue. And just imagine, he grew up underneath the laws. And, you know, he grew up hearing this stuff all the time. And so it was easy for him to be able to say, Well, I've done all those things from my youth up. I've done all those things since I was a kid. I grew up in church. I grew up hearing these things. And then Jesus Christ shows him his heart. Jesus Christ tells him, Go sell all things. And the young man left sorrowful. Why? Because his worldly possessions were worth more to him than anything that God had to be. His worldly possessions were worth more to him than anything that Jesus Christ had to offer him. Because you know what? It says that he left there sorrowful. And because just because a person looks or sounds religious doesn't mean that they're saved. Look at Paul, was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was out there thinking that he was doing what the will of God was. He thought he was out there doing exactly what God would have him to do. And then Jesus Christ shows up on the road to Damascus. And you know what he tells him? Why are you kicking against those pricks? What pricks? When was he pricking against them? When was Jesus Christ convicting him? Right here. He never forgot that. He never left it alone when he got challenged on that road. Go sell your possessions. Was it at that point, Tim, that he realized that he was covered? No, he did not. He didn't realize that. He didn't realize that. It wasn't until later on down the road when Jesus Christ told him why they were kicking against the pricks. He realized that's what he was talking about. Why? Because in Romans chapter 9, it says that. It says here, I'm going to skip over that. Romans chapter, excuse me. Gosh, am I in Romans? 2 Corinthians. Nope. Well, I lost my place. Romans 7. He says, What shall I say then? Is law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For if I had not known, I had not known lust, except the law said, Thou shall not covet. That's the very thing Jesus Christ pointed to him on that road. But that little young man wasn't worried about that. You know what he ended up doing? He ended up shaking the conviction off. He ended up shaking the conviction off and doing what? Getting religious. You notice after he got convicted that he got more religious? Even to the point where he was killing Christians and dragging them out and doing all those things and bringing them before council. Why? Because he was trying to appease the wrath that he knew that God had against him. He was trying to get away from that conviction. So he became more religious, and that's what people are doing today when they get convicted. They want to read their Bibles more, they want to pray more, and they want to stay lost, they want to get more religious, they want to get
It's just a cycle that keeps going.
It's a torment that goes on inside of a person. They're trying to get close to God through the religious ways, the religious acts. And it leaves them in the same place they've always been, empty. Verse 8 says, but sin taking occasion. You know that sin? How was it made known? By the commandment. Paul understood that through his sins were the commandments of God. It says, it wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. Why? For I was alive without the law once. You know, when I started reading this Bible, I didn't understand what sin was. I understood those things that I was doing wrong against human beings. But when God, divorce, everybody gets divorced. I mean, they get all worked up over the whole divorce thing. I understand it. But you have to understand where people like me come from. It wasn't a bad thing for people to divorce where I come from. People have done it to get away from each other because they couldn't stand each other anymore. Nobody ever, no church ever came in the prison and said, look it, divorce is against God. Nobody ever came in and told me that. Nobody ever came in and said, look it, guys, you probably shouldn't be committing fornication out there. Nobody come in and preach that stuff to us. I had no clue what it was until I came into this church. I had no inkling of any of it. But that's where we came from. Look, God saved me out of a lifestyle where that stuff was the norm. Isn't that what God's supposed to be about? Taking people out of that type of lifestyle and giving them a new lifestyle? The God of impossibilities who can take a person that's in such a manner as that, such a lifestyle, such an upbringing as that, and put them into a new lifestyle where they can live and learn and now understand. And now look at, I try to help people avoid divorce. Why? Because I now realize it. Paul admits it. He says, look at back in the past, he says, I did these things ignorantly in unbelief. He didn't know. My life was based on ignorance and unbelief. Could you imagine? Lord, I'm not going to get divorced because one day I'm going to get saved. You think if I would have known that I would have ever got divorced? Is anybody in their right mind thinking in this church that if I would have known about divorce back then, like I know about it today, this time, that I would have done that? But see, they don't take into account that God has to teach a person that. I have men who are in jail right now, men who are in prison. Their grandmother taught them how to sell crack. To them, that's their norm. You go, they're crazy for doing that. They're breaking the law, but that's all they know. Because nobody wants to go in there and tell them any different, that there is something different than that. They're willing to die for it. You go, don't they have common sense to know? They have common sense to know that they're breaking the law, but they don't know any other way. Some of you guys grew up in church. Some of you guys grew up around the King James Bible. That's your way. You know that. They don't. Your thinking and their thinking is totally different. This is what makes God an awesome God. This is what makes him so wonderful, is because he wants to take what we see as a hopeless case. Like, there's no hope for that person whatsoever. Oh, no, there is. What do you think drives me to that jail? Week after week after week. If I thought for one second there was not a hope for a single person in there, why do I do it? There was a boy I worked with, pastor might remember, I'm not going to say his name over the air. Him and a bunch of guys end up killing somebody over there in Wellsville. You think, Dale, everybody's given up on that kid. I haven't. I can't. I cry over him. I looked at my wife the other day. I said, Amen, why do I still weep for this kid? Why is my heart still broke for this kid? When all he wants, he doesn't care about anything. He doesn't care about what I have to say. I said, but I can't give up on him. Because I know there's hope for him in Jesus. He just got 16 years flat. And he wrote me a letter. And I wrote him a letter back, and I just said, he said, Dale, I've never done this. I said, you just have to be a big boy now. You had the chance with Jesus. Now you're just going to have to be a big boy and hope that God has mercy on you, man. Because I can't go in there with you. He said, but I'll go through it with you. For as long as God will keep me alive, I will write that boy. I will stay there with him.
Amen.
Most people have given up on him. They've turned him back, and rightfully so. I'm not saying anybody's wrong that have done that. I just can't do that. Why? Because I believe in the God of impossibilities. You know why? Because he's done it for me. There ain't many people sitting in this room who would have known me back in the days would have ever thought in a million years that I'd be standing here preaching, that I'd be standing here saved. Because there's a lot of church people today who don't have that hope in people. I have a hard time seeing no hope for people. Because I know what God has done for me. I know where he's brought me from. And I know where he's going. And I know what he wants to do. And you know what it says? And I think I talked to this one time earlier before. When it says that God, Paul says this. He says, if anybody's out there threshing and they're out there watering and they're doing it without hope, they're hindering the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when you're looking at somebody and you think there's no hope for that person, you just hindered the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's right. Yeah.
You just stopped it right there. And let me tell you right now, that's most of the jail ministries. I said most, not all. Trust me, I deal with them. I deal with them face to face. I see them. I see what they do. I hear what they say. I know what they're up to. They don't have hope for those people. That's why, how about this? I'll come in and spend 5 minutes with you. You want to say a prayer real quick? All right, let's pray. All right, I'll talk to you later. And I watched him walk away from those people while that person's still trying to talk to him with tears in her eyes. Because they don't see any hope for them people. God help people get back to seeing hope. Because it's not about what we think. It's about the God of impossibilities and what he can do.
Amen.
It's our responsibility, I believe, as people, to pray for people like this young man that I'm talking about, because for whatever reason, he's just got a hold of my heart. And the Lord has given me many burdens for many people. Watching Miss Hannah's video there, I mean, it just broke my heart seeing those young people in that condition and the things that they have to go through and such. And I just look at myself, like, why do I cry so much and whine? I think I really have it that bad. Mm-hmm. And then I see something like that and I go, oh my goodness, Lord, why don't you just go ahead and take all Liberty's money and give it to them? Like, you know, put it to them. The people, what they got to go through and the endurance and then never, could you imagine that, John Mark? You're 1 year old, man, and you're going to be 18 years old and you'll never see your mom or dad ever. I mean, thank God they're going to be with people who love Jesus Christ and who's going to treat them well. But could you imagine that? Your whole life, somebody came by and found you in a dumpster? That's heartbreaking. Well, guess what? I have some of those guys that are in jail and prison. I have them. I can tell you stories of men who their mother was getting ready to throw them in a dumpster and grandma came in and stepped in, or social services came and took them away or whatever else. I have those stories. I can tell you all day. I can tell you them. But you know what the only hope is, Chris? God. Jesus Christ is their only hope. There is no other hope any other way. He's the God of impossibilities. He's the one that's going to change your life. You know? And he wants to use man. But anyway, I'm done. Pastor Hayne, I'm done.
Amen. Good.
Now.